Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air, and we are so glad to have you. Talk some D3 football, some college basketball, some Packers, some Bucks, and we can't ignore what went down last night as the baseball season has now culminated in a pretty exciting World Series, an anticlimactic game, but a pretty exciting World Series, and we, as Brewers fans, now look through the prism that is the Houston Astros. We're tearing it down to the timbers and building it back up and adding a few key pieces, and now saying there, but for the grace of God, can go the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll talk with Seth Everett coming up here in just one moment. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. You deserve better. If you want to be on the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field, maybe catching the Packers, you could do so. All you have to do is take a chance by going to Packers.com/best seats. Packers.com/best seats, and that is given away by Cousin Subs. The best seats in the house, two leather recliners. You and a friend could be sitting there enjoying a Cousin Subs, watching a game. It's that simple. Simply go to Packers.com/best seats. Let's bring him in now, our baseball insider. That is Seth Everett. And Seth, so give me your overall take of this World Series.
I thought it was exciting. I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of storylines, a lot of topics, a lot of things we can talk about. No shortage of that. So it was trending. It was good. And it was exciting. I don't want to get into the all-time topic because somebody said to me on Twitter, said, isn't this top five at least? And I said, no, maybe top 10. But I could, they were better. They were better, right? World Series. And, from a quality of the game, it was sloppy. I mean, some of these games were sloppy, but I thought baseball sold what baseball does best, which is drama. Twice you had 4-0 leads evaporate. And because you have the threat of that, even last night in what was a rather ho-hum game, you had the threat of a comeback. At any time, you didn't have faith. The Astros bullpen had been exposed. The Dodgers bullpen had been exposed. So that's what baseball sells the best, is drama. And you're hanging on every pitch. And I think that's something that lacks in the regular season. Here's a crazy statistic. 76% of leads after 7 innings have gone to the winning team, to the leading team. So it doesn't happen every day. And so when your team is losing 5-3 in the eighth inning and you're going through pitching change after pitching change, well, suddenly now you're saying, well, my team's not going to win tonight. Let's do this again tomorrow. And that's a different philosophy in the World Series, because in this World Series, both bullpens had been exposed to the extent of you didn't know who was going to score and explode. It wasn't just score. It was explode for all these runs. And I thought that's what baseball has going for it. It's drama.
So, first of all, let's start with Hugh Darvish. Because I'm listening to baseball tonight. I was watching the Major League Baseball Network on all this different stuff. And they said, well, he didn't have it in warm-ups. Coach, manager didn't know. But we've seen guys that say, man, I threw like crap in warm-up and went out and threw a no-hitter and all of a sudden righted the ship and turned around and had a really great game. Okay, I understand all of that. So last night to me, though, if you could have gotten an out, if you could have gotten a pitch, if you could have gotten an inning out of anybody, the minute he got into trouble, it would have been, that's done. I'm done with it. We're going to just empty everybody and go ahead and play this thing because there is no tomorrow. Would you have done it that way, or did they do the right thing?
What I didn't like was that that Dave Roberts didn't know. I don't know if there's a language issue there. That's crazy. I think there's something physically wrong with him. And, I think it's very cowardly of athletes to not admit when they're hurt, especially pitchers. Position players, when a position player plays hurt, you think Kirk Gibson. And when a pitcher does it, it's idiotic because your mechanics are off. Mm-hmm. Lance McCullers, after the game, said he had nothing. And he told them that he could only go a couple innings. And they knew it, and they had Brad Peacock ready. And they decided to go Brad Peacock because they didn't want to go straight from McCullers to Morton. They wanted somebody in between. And A.J. Hinch had a plan. That comes from communication. So, you know, it disturbs me to hear that Dave Roberts saying he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't winning that game anyway. They weren't touching the Astros pitching. I thought going in, I had said Astros in seven, and I said the Astros overall pitching is better. And it's if the lineups are a push, which I didn't even think they were, but if the lineups were a push, then the Dodger bullpen had an edge, but the Dodger bullpen got exposed early on in the series.
So as this thing goes, we saw a record number of home runs, a record number of strikeouts. It's a microcosm of what the season is. We've talked about this time and again. Baseball more exciting or less exciting because of it?
I think less. You know, I think the sport has it's at a crossroads. I think that, you know, I've often said I'll trade half the home runs for half the strikeouts, bring defense back. And I'm not saying no offense. It just can't be home run after home run after home run. It's not exciting. You know, base running is a lost art. You don't see, you know, it used to be you look forward to seeing, you know, guys on base and seeing what that would do to hitter's approach and pitcher's approach. And, you know, that doesn't seem to exist anymore. But, you know, that's not a rules thing. That's a way that this is all being contrived. And, you know, I think the Brewers are right in there because the Brewers are, you know, one of the trendsetters and hiring these young guys to kind of preach the company line. And that's what Craig Counsell has become. But Torrey Lovello, A.J. Hinch, Dave Roberts, now you see Alex Cora, Gabe Kapler, Mickey Callaway. These are all players that played in this century. And so the argument of, you know, the Buck Showalter, I made this claim this morning. You tell me if you disagree. I think this is Buck Showalter's last job. I think Dusty Baker is done as a manager. I think that, you know, Mike Socia has only a few years left. I think that the trend of getting somebody, and this is a sentence I never thought I would say on a baseball report, but I think one of the big strengths of a manager is their ability to connect with millennials.
Right.
Because millennials are all-stars now.
But that's a great question. How do you what would then be the barrier? Because,
well,
you're talking about the wisdom of a Buck Showalter, the wisdom of a Dusty Baker, and Dusty Baker's always been known as a player's manager, and guys love Dusty Baker. So
love.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what would then be the distinct disconnect between Dusty Baker and, say, a millennial? Just because he's just an older guy?
No, I think it's a money thing. I think that what they're saying is, you know, Dusty is a guy who's not going to be a yes sir kind of guy. He's going to inject his own personality into everything, and you know, he's a very gut feeling type of manager. And I think what happens, you know, whenever you're dealing with these guys. And Terry Collins used to tell me this, and he hated it, which is why he's not going to be a manager anymore. And that was, you know, he would get a mission. He would get a requisite of this guy has to go, this guy, make sure this guy sees action, when's this guy playing, and those kinds of things. And, you know, I always laugh whenever I see people question managers on sports talk radio. Oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. What do you think? You think Dave Dombrowski didn't tell John Farrell half the moves to make?
Mm-hmm.
And you think that's why Alex Cora is there? Somebody I was on in Maine this morning, and somebody said, well, what do you think the impact of Tony La Russa is going to be? I said, well, Alex Cora there has to make Tony La Russa one of his fave fives because that's another cook in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this trend is going. And this is to make sure that the old ways are changing and that we're up with the times and the role of the manager is shifting. And I think that's just part of the game. Does it make it better or worse? Look, you guys asked me for my opinions. I think it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that I'm going to say that baseball's ruined. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to come off like a hater, but I don't think that's a trend that's a healthy trend. And, yeah, people are excited for Houston because, you know what, that city's been through a lot, and this is their first ever championship. But, you know, we also don't forget that their owner – sold out the Astros when he took a $50 million discount to move that team to the American League West. And instead of playing the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Cubs, the Reds, the Pirates 20 times a year, they go three separate times to Oakland, Seattle, and Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
two time zones away. Those games start at 9:30 at night. That's more than a third of their road games.
Right.
And, you know, then you're going to ask, you know, because this is the other question I get all day, is, you know, well, the Astros, they're young. They should be there for a long time. Didn't we say that about the Cubs, and didn't we say that about the Royals?
I said the same thing. Said the exact same thing. You can't – for I was listening to Chicago radio last year when they won it, and they said, well, this team's set up to win the next two or three or four or be there for maybe even 5 years. And I thought, you bag idiots. Baseball is such a marathon, and it's so hard to get back there. It's so hard to get back to the postseason, much less just to say I'm going to go back and win two or three or four World Series. You are set up to win one, and you have to take advantage of it when it happens because those chances just don't come along in Major League Baseball for whatever reason. And to me, it all starts with pitching, and it all starts with the proper acquisition for an ace who's going to then have the trickle-down effect on the rest of your arms and the fortification of your bullpen.
Yeah. But, you know, the crazy thing, you know, about what has happened as a result is, you know, the Astros, and people say, well, the Astros are under control. That's wonderful. How many of those guys are you offering multi-year deals to avoid arbitration? And if you choose three of the five of that nucleus, what happens then? You know what I'm saying? Like, what happens then? Because then so how do you tell, for example, Springer and Altuve, they have multi-year deals, but you're not giving one to Correa? Then what is Correa thinking about? He's thinking about arbitration.
Right.
You know, the best examples of this are, in recent history, the 2008 Phillies and the 2011 Phillies, who had it double the payroll because it was the same players, but everybody got expensive. And, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates get credit for building it the right way. What they didn't have was any postseason success.
Mm-hmm.
The Royals had that postseason success. They have seven free agents right now. They won the World Series 2 years ago. And all of their free agents were on that World Series team. So what do the Astros do? Now, the Astros are younger than the Royals, but not by much. And so what is it now, 3 years until they're all free agents?
Mm-hmm.
And again, you'll tick off, nothing will tick off a clubhouse than offering an Evan Longoria-style contract to one of those cats, and then the other ones don't get it.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
it's tough to keep it together. I completely understand it.
And this is the owner that took a $50 million discount and sold out his team so that they play in Oakland three times a year.
I agree with you. Going back to the series itself, I agree with you. This wasn't that instant. We're too much prisoners of the moment. I mean, they had some great games, very entertaining games, but classics to me are 5-4. You know, Fisk waving that fair ball. In those, I mean, those are classics.
It's Scott Brosius.
Yes.
You know, it's Luis Gonzalez. So, you know, I understand.
It's Pudge holding the ball in the air at the end to say we won the World Series when the Marlins weren't supposed to be there. I mean, those can become
classics. Yeah.
I get that.
Oh, yeah.
This had great offense, but this was an exciting, but I don't know if I can call it the instant classic that people want to label that thing.
No, and my favorite example of that, and I don't mean to pick on him, but my favorite example of that is Greg Gumbel. Because you remember the Eli Manning to David Tyree caught the ball with his helmet.
Correct.
You know, people say that's one of the top four all-time catches in history. But at the time, it was like, that could be the greatest Super Bowl catch in history. The next year, Santonio Holmes catches that ball with his feet in that barely in the end zone. And Greg Gumbel's immediate words were, that's the greatest Super Bowl catch in history. I'm like, wait a minute. It was last year.
Right.
I'm not the guy. I'm not the get off my lawn guy who starts saying, well, the 55 Dodgers, that was the team, or the 1960 Bill Mazeroski home run. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I won't even go to 1975. I was 2 years old. But I will go to 2001. I will go to 1986. I will go to 1991, that seventh game, where Jack Morris is throwing 10 innings and not making them pry him off the mound. Those were, to me, the classics.
Right.
And this series was an exciting one, but I could make the argument for it to be top 10, nothing more.
Always great to chat, my friend, and we'll chat again soon, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, you know how to find me.
Absolutely, buddy. Hey, take care, okay?
Thanks for a great year.
Absolutely. We'll continue to talk because we got to talk about the Brewers' place and all this before it's all said and done anyway. So we'll chat some more.
I'm fine with that.
All right, buddy.
I'm fine with that. You know how to reach me.
Great stuff. Seth, appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon. There you go. Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Last night, as you watched the Houston Astros hoist the trophy, Did you sit there and kind of close your eyes and think for a minute, there, but for the grace of God, go the Milwaukee Brewers? Does that now give you hope? Back-to-back years, teams that have torn it down, had 100-plus losses, drafted well, free agents, spent a little bit of money and built it all back up. Do you now sit there and think to yourself, it's now time, Milwaukee? 855-830-8648. Also, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to get into some fantasy football, so you can start getting your fantasy football questions in as well. But I want to talk Brewers baseball. Last night, Brewers fans, did you sit there and think to yourself, we have hope? More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. So, last night you watched as the Houston Astros hoisted the trophy. And I sat there, and you know what? In a moment like that, I give credit to, you know, I know people hate Joe Buck but for whatever reason, but last night Joe Buck said, and the Houston Astros are the World Series champion, and then just let it play, okay? Just let the moment be. Good broadcasters do that. So as I'm sitting there watching that, I have to tell you, I it's not that I closed my eyes and I reminisced about it, but I sat there and I started to think, okay, Houston, we've now seen years in which the Cubs tear it down, 100 losses, draft well, develop well, make key trades, bring in key people, go out and spend money on pitching, and then come back and win a World Series. They fortified themselves to get back to that point and get into the postseason again this year. Three straight NLCSs, one World Series to show for it. That there's success there, okay? There's a proven modicum of success. Houston ran away with the division this year. They're the ones that tore it down to the Timbers. I mean, they tore it down to the bare Timbers. They got rid of everybody. Again, drafted well, key acquisitions, spent some money, big midseason move, picking up Justin Verlander, and suddenly they're hoisting the trophy. And I'm thinking the Brewers tore it down pretty much to the Timbers. Didn't get rid of everybody, but pretty close. Have made key acquisitions, and they've started building it back up. They've got some key pieces that are in place. We believe that they're maybe a couple of players away. And then at what point do you say you're going to go ahead and start to, you know, kind of fortify the pitching staff all over again and pick out, you know, what you need, that ace if you happen to need to go out and get one, whatever, okay? I got to be honest. I sat there last night and I thought, I'm excited. I'm excited about the future of the Milwaukee Brewers. And I haven't, for the most part, you can say, I'm excited to see what happens. Okay, because now you've got at least a modicum of hope, because we were down a long tunnel of darkness where there really wasn't much light at the end of the tunnel. Now you're seeing the light. I'm not saying that I'm seeing the other side, but I was seeing the light for a long period of time. This season brought light, okay? And then I watched Houston hoist that trophy, and I thought, okay, I have an expectation now. Why not the Milwaukee Brewers? Because for Houston, for 50-plus years, they were saying, why not Houston? And they were just like you. Every time we get close, something happens. You know, hey, they're not going to be able to afford all these players. If we don't want it now, you blow it up, tear it down, whatever it is you want to say. But now, last night, sitting there, I was ready. I'm ready. I want to jump all in. I want to be a believer. I'm ready to watch them hoist a trophy. Did you get that sense last night as a Brewers fan that the Brewers are on the right path, that the Brewers are a team that in the next couple of years, you're going to be watching the Milwaukee Brewers hoist a trophy? The odd thing about it is I also sat there and watched them in L.A. last night. This was a warm weather series. Houston down there, obviously, and they play in a dome, and 67 degrees last night. Although I must admit, and I tweeted this out last night, that woman behind home plate who just would not shut up, wasn't even paying attention to the game, bugged the hell out of me. I know she paid her money, or somebody gave her the money, or she got the ticket from somebody, and it's a lot of money. It's, you know, whatever it is, the regular season price, or they bought it on the aftermarket. I don't know. But the woman, you know who I'm talking about, the dark hair, I tweeted out about her last night. tweeted out about her last night, would not shut up. It was like she was sharing recipes, talking about the kids. She had no clue again. Every now and then she'd kind of flip her hair and make sure her boobs were kind of like, you know, put up right. She'd look down at her boobs and then she'd open her jacket up and then she'd have the hair and the LA Dodgers ball cap and she'd watch a pitch and she would look as bored could be. And then she'd go back to chatting with the two women alongside her. Just drove me nuts last night. I just kept wanting to scream at her. It's game 7 of the World Series. Pay attention. This is it. And just didn't care. That bothered me. It shouldn't have, but I guess my OCD kicked in or something. I have no idea. Or ADD, whatever you want to label it. But that being said, good series. Not a great series. Not a classic series, but I thought it was a good series. Good for Major League Baseball. But all I kept thinking was, why not the Brewers? Why not the Brewers? That last night gave me the sense of, okay, the $300 million program that is the LA Dodgers with all the stars that were there made me believe last night the Brewers could get it done. Mike in Zonia. Mike, welcome to the program, The Bill Michael Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I wanted to refute your question. As for right now, I'll tell you why not the Brewers, and this is the reason. Both the Cubs and the Astros have multiple, not just one, but multiple young superstars. Not just stars, but superstars.
Mm-hmm.
Until the Brewers get one young superstar, I don't think we can even put them in that conversation yet. I mean, the Astros, we got there's Altuve, there's Springer, there's mm-hmm. Correa. The Cubs have Rizzo and Bryant, just young superstars, top of the baseball world. Who do the Brewers have? Who can they point to towards the future and say, that guy is going to be the cornerstone?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think they've developed to that point yet. I can say, okay, is Arcia. I mean, Arcia had a breakout year this year. Started off rather slow and then had mm-hmm. a breakout year. Is he going to become that guy? You know, Brett Phillips certainly played well in the back portion of the season. Is Brinson going to come back and be that guy? Santana had a lovely year. If Santana puts up another year like that, like he just had, I mean, you can start to talk about him in that fortification role. I don't know what VR is going to bring to the table. I don't know what they're going to do at second base. Travis Shaw certainly had a good year this year. You already have a guy like that if he bounces back and has a 280 or plus season in Ryan Braun as your wily veteran. But
I think you've got a lot of decent pieces there, but I don't see any of those as saying, oh, that guy's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Well, it's going to be interesting because
that's where I have the problem right now.
Excuse me. This year is going to be the year for the Brewers, for some of those guys who we just mentioned, to break out and be that star. I mean, if you get a whole team of guys hitting 275 or better, you're going to be a team that's going to win a lot of games. And if you fortify with any kind of pitching at all, you're going to win.
Yeah, that's what the Royals did. They put it together with a whole bunch of good pieces that had good chemistry and everything. And I see us possibly winning a title like that.
Right.
But like the Astros and the Cubs, were built around young superstars that they sort of got lucky.
They also drafted high. I mean, they were drafted in the top five.
Very high. Correa was number one overall.
Right.
Bregman was number two overall. So they had a lot of young players like that. But,
so when you got Braun, you were drafting high.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so that's what you ended up getting. But
I don't think the Brewers had it several years ago with Braun and Fielder. They were more in position to be there.
You had superstars. That's when you had legitimate superstars on this team. I completely agree with you. Appreciate the phone call. So the question then becomes, moving the ball further up the hill, is to say, okay, who's the legitimate superstars, budding superstars on this team? That's where you have to look. We'll talk more about this because it's an interesting conversation, maybe later on in the program. But coming up next, time now for fantasy football. Get your fantasy football questions in. As fantasy football again begins tonight, you got a full weekend, culminating with the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions on Monday night. Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com, LeagueSafePost.com, and Fanball.com. Taking your questions, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. That's an AlonesByKip.com toll-free talk line. Your fantasy football questions next on The Bill Michael Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Hey, fantasy football players, get the inside info to win your league this week right now. Our expert, Paul Charchian, is here to take your calls right now at 855-830-8648. Now, from LeagueSafe.com, LeagueSafePost.com, and Fanball.com, here's Paul.
Welcome back. Bill Michael Show on the air. Give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. 855-830-8648. Time now to get your fantasy football questions in. Touch base with us. We're going to talk with Paul Charchin coming up here in just a minute. Our friends from the Marshfield Clinic bring you this segment of the program. And the Marshfield Clinic Health System, the ones that took care of me 3 years ago, I had the knee surgery there. Feeling great, and they can help you out as well. Or if you have something ailing you right here, right now, they can help you out. Give us a buzz. 844-CARE-WAY, 844-CARE-WAY. And maybe they can get your prescription sent right over the phone. 844-CARE-WAY, 844-CARE-WAY. And check out everything the Marshfield Clinic has to offer. And they are the official healthcare provider of yours truly and the Bill Michaels Show. Paul Emig now joining us on the line. Paul, how you doing, buddy? Or Paul Charchin, I'm sorry. I've got my Pauls mixed up. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
That's fine. Hi. I'm happy to say, and most importantly for you, Manny's secured.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. We are in the house. And that's no small get for Super Bowl week. So we'll have to firm up the details on that.
Okay, I'm fine right with that. As long as we're in, I don't care. I don't even care if we're eating in the kitchen. That's fine, as long as we're there.
Wouldn't that be great? Now, this week, I got to know, at the outset here, it is a brutal six-team bye week with many of the best players in fantasy football not available. So, Bill, in this segment, we're going to say things that are normally unspeakable, things that are likely to cause involuntary waves of disgust in our listeners, things like, have you fully considered the merits of Tyler Higbee for your fantasy team? Then when this week is over, we are going to turn the page and we are going to pretend this week never happened. We're just going to go past this.
Okay.
All right.
I'm good with that.
We're going to do our best. We're going to do our best in difficult situations. That's what we do here.
Perfect. I'm looking forward to it. Whenever you throw something at me like that, I'm good with that. I'm flexible, dude. I'm good with it.
I know. That's what I like about you.
Perfect.
Can roll with anything.
I can roll
that's
with anything. Right. All right, got a lot of people on hold. And people calling in, give us one or the other or one out of three, but don't give us any more than that. Otherwise, we're just going to blow you up. Okay, let's go to Brian listening to us in Appleton. Brian, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. Paul, I need a tight end starter here. Let's go Cameron Brate or Jason Witten.
Yeah, I've got them both really close to each other, but I've got Witten a little bit higher. You know, without Zeke, you figure that Dak Prescott's going to throw just a few more passes. The Chiefs have allowed the third most yardage to tight ends. So I think, you know, you add up a few extra receptions and a bad Chiefs defense against the tight end. I like Jason Witten, my number six tight end this week.
There you have it. Let's go back to the phones. We'll talk to Sarah in Chicago. Sarah, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. You got a question for Paul Charchian?
I do. I have a standard league. I need two of three running backs, Kamara, Ingram, or Aaron Jones.
Ingram is your absolute lock against Tampa Bay, and he's getting 27 touches per game since the Adrian Peterson trade. So tons of touches, a mediocre at best Bucs run defense, and I love Mark Ingram, my number four running back this week. And then the next highest one I've got is Aaron Jones up at number 15. You're in a standard league, Sarah, so you're looking for touchdowns. And Aaron Jones is, you know, not that the Packers run many touchdowns in, but Aaron Jones would certainly get any if there were some goal line opportunities. And, man, would it be helpful to Brett Hundley if you guys could establish a running game, right? Bill, could anything help him more than getting Aaron Jones going in this game?
I think what they're going to do is stack the box and say, Aaron Jones is not going to beat us. Brett Hundley, we dare you to beat us. And then he has to go do
it. Yeah. And think about this. If 3 weeks ago I told you that defenses were game planning to stop Aaron Jones, maybe a month ago, you thought we were crazy. That was the biggest threat on the team. But right now, that's the biggest threat on this offense.
That's it. There you go. This one is a PPR league, T.Y. Hilton or Mike Evans from E-Rock.
Well, T.Y. Hilton's, you know, at a huge disadvantage as a member of the Colts. And by the way, Andrew Luck just went on IR. So they've ended his season. The suspense is over. That just went down 5 minutes ago. He's down at number 24 this week. I can understand the concern with Mike Evans. He's got a tough matchup against a now good Saints secondary, including, get to know the name, Marshawn Lattimore, your defensive rookie of the year leader right now. He is awesome. He's their cornerback for the Saints. He's Pro Football Focus's number one coverage cornerback. not among rookies, among everybody. He's that good. He's going to get Mike Evans this week. But still, if one of the great things about Jameis Winston is he doesn't care. He just keeps throwing to Mike Evans anyway. It just doesn't matter who the matchup is or what's going on. It doesn't matter how well covered Evans is. He throws it anyway. So I still strongly prefer Mike Evans. You know, T.Y. Hilton might get a little something garbage time, but, man, they're going to get decimated by Houston.
This one is Tyrod Taylor or Cam Newton?
Yeah, so Tyrod Taylor's got the better matchup on paper, right? And Cam Newton's been bad. I've actually got Tyrod two spots higher this week, which is saying a lot. So that game's tonight. He goes up against a Jets team that's allowed the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. I don't think Kelvin Benjamin makes any kind of impact here, Bill. He arrived in Buffalo at roughly this time yesterday. So I just can't see him. You know, he'll either be inactive, or what do you think, Bill? 10 plays? Maybe they can teach him a handful of plays to run, and that's
right.
It. I can't. So you can't start him. But anyway, back to Tyrod Taylor. Maybe this is the Jordan Matthews breakout game. Maybe this is when rookie Zay Jones puts it all together. LeSean McCoy is a great receiver, and Jets are a middle-of-the-pack run defense. Maybe LeSean McCoy gets some done through the air. We're going to try him. Cam Newton, other than two games against a couple of bad defenses, has been brutal this year, and he just lost Kelvin Benjamin. So I'm really hesitant to start Cam Newton this week.
855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you've got a question for Paul Charchi and Shoot, this one is Golden Tate or A.J. Green?
I love Golden Tate this week. Love him. So he goes up against your squad. As you know, he's going to face slot corner Demaryius Randall.
Right.
I don't have to tell you about the struggles that he has had. The last four slot receivers to play the Packers have scored or topped 97 yards. So I love Golden Tate in this. And then, meanwhile, A.J. Green's got the exact opposite. He goes up against the number one pass defense in the NFL by yards allowed, the number one defense by touchdowns allowed in the Jaguars. And get this, the Jaguars have allowed one touchdown to a wide receiver this year. One. That's it. So it's a brutal matchup for A.J. Green. He's way down at receiver number 16 this week.
Let's go to Chris in South Milwaukee. Chris, welcome to the program. You got a question for Paul Charchi in fantasy football related.
Yeah, a little bit of dilemma. I almost dropped Jay Ajayi because he wasn't going to do anything, but then he was traded. But I also have LeGarrette Blount. Who should I start this week?
Well, for this week especially, start Blount, although it's a bad matchup with Denver either way. But start Blount this week for sure. Ajayi's new to the squad. But then, you know, put on your GM hat for a second here, Bill. You're running the Eagles. You've got Blount, who's been good. He's averaging 4.7 yards per carry. That's a healthy average. Also, Blount is only under contract through this year. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. It's like 31, I believe, years old into this offseason. You've got Ajayi under a great fourth-round rookie deal, and he's going to be back next year. I think they keep Ajayi fresh. He enters with the sixth most carries in the league. That's too many carries. I think they're going to dial way back his workload, keep him fresh. They'll start pounding teams in the playoffs. Eagles are headed to the playoffs for sure. Pounding teams in the playoffs with a fresh Ajayi and then rolling next season with Ajayi, you know, also with less mileage on him. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Yeah.
That's what I would do if I ran the Eagles.
Yep. No, I get it. I can understand it. Let's do this. We'll take a break. More people have questions for Paul Charchian. 855-830-8648. If you got a fantasy football question, line available, give us a shout right now. We'll also take them on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Fantasy football next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. So glad to have you. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we're going to be on the road. Going to be out at Paulie's Pub and Eatery this evening. Out in West Dallas, 6 to 8. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. It's all brought to you by a great friends. As soon as I say good, great friends. At Bud Light. Hope to see you out there as a face in the crowd tonight. Always a lot of fun, talking a lot of football. We're going to have a good time. Bud Girls are going to be there getting you registered for all kinds of prizes and for the big screen TV we're giving away at the end of the season. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. Look for it tonight. Paulie's Pub and Eatery across from the Wisconsin State Fair Park out in West Dallas. 6 to 8 this evening, and hope to see you there. Paul Charchian from Fanball.com and also from LeagueSafe.com and LeagueSafePost.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Let's get back to it. John is listening in Green Bay with a running back question. John, what do you got for us?
Hello, Standard League. Two out of the following three: Doug Martin, Christian McCaffrey, or Carlos Hyde. I'm torn.
Yeah, I don't blame you, and I've got them all stacked right by each other. I've got Christian McCaffrey, the highest of the group, actually. He's it's another in a series of good matchups. Atlanta's giving up 7 receptions per game, 55 yards per game to running backs. And that happens to be pretty much exactly what McCaffrey is averaging, 7 receptions, 55 yards. And now without Kelvin Benjamin, that's 6 more passes that they got to spread around. So I think McCaffrey gets a couple of those too. So I like him a lot. And then I've got Doug Martin as the next highest one. He's gone for at least 85 total yards in each of his last 3 outings against the Saints. And the Saints' run defense ranks bottom 10. And they've allowed over 100 yards and a touchdown to running backs the last 2 weeks. So I like Doug Martin here, my number 11 running back.
Let's go to Dan in Minocqua. Dan, welcome to the program. You got a question for Paul Charchian.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. So I got Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams kind of like stashed on my bench. And yeah. I don't know if I should try to trade them while they still have like the name, you know, kind of face name value that they had like when you originally drafted them. But I literally have no idea what to do with them up against this Detroit matchup at home.
Yeah, if you're going to keep them for this week and start them, we've seen the number one corners have consistently gone after Devontae Adams. And that means that Adams is going to get the Slay ride, Darius Slay. And that means that's why I like Nelson more this week. But, Bill, let me throw to you. Do you believe that fantasy owners should get out now while there's still some name recognition value for these receivers? Or do you roll the dice? I mean, one more bad game from Huntley, and you know now you've got really no trade leverage with these guys.
Yeah.
What would you do? What would you advise?
You're as plugged in
as anyone to this.
That's a great question. I mean, I look at it this way. I originally thought, you know what, Jordy Nelson, nice speech in front of the wide receivers saying we need to practice as we play, and so I would always hang on to Jordy, but I. You may look for guys like Geronimo Allison. You may look like a guy like Devontae Adams, and also a guy like even Trevor Davis, because those are the guys that were on the practice squad, or not practice squad, but the scout teams, if you will, that are more familiar with Brett Hundley and what he does and how he does it. So, but I look for them to run the ball more. It's hard for me to give up on a Jordy Nelson because Jordy Nelson's Jordy. You know what I mean? But Randall Cobb. Certainly I could see giving up on a Randall Cobb, but I still think there's going to be some addition of maybe a Lance Kendricks or a Martellus Bennett that's going to shine through this thing before it's all said and done, but the rest of it doesn't give me a lot of promise right now until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, I think what I hear you saying is, you know, if you're talking about trying to go to depth receivers, then people with Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, get out now is really what I'm interpreting what you're saying is sell while you still have some trade value in those names. I think so, too. It's just the reality of where we are right now.
Good stuff there. Appreciate it, Dan. Thanks for giving us a buzz. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This one is from Jake, who says, Watson or Wilson at quarterback?
It's my number one and number three quarterback, so it's a nice problem to have. But how do you ever bench Deshaun Watson after what happened last week? He went to Seattle and blew it. He didn't just have a good game. He had an explosive game, and now he gets the Colts. They rank 31st in passing yards allowed, 302 yards per game. They've given up 12 passing touchdowns in their past 6 games. It's a great opportunity for Watson. And so I at this point, I think you just start Watson every week right now. And who knows? He could run in 3 touchdowns, and nobody would be surprised.
This was from Misty. Says, tonight's matchup, would you start Powell or Forte or both by pulling Sanu out of my flex?
I would start neither, if you can avoid it. So Sanu's definitely in. I mean, we're talking about two guys who cannibalize each other's numbers, and the Bills are allowing the 4th fewest rushing yards, so I don't like any of it. But if I got to pick one to play with Sanu, I'll take Bilal Powell, who's getting a little more work and, frankly, is the better running back of the two.
This one, Andy Dalton or Devontae Parker?
Andy Dalton is almost impossible to start at this point. He goes up against Jacksonville, number one pass defense in the NFL. And how about this? Jaguars lead the league in sacks by a mile. It's 33 sacks of the team already. Andy Dalton is protected by arguably the worst offensive line in the NFL, giving up the third highest sack rate in the NFL. 9% of his dropbacks result in sacks. Third worst in the NFL. He's going to be under siege all day. And then when he is upright, he's thrown up against the number one pass defense in the NFL. Andy Dalton, with six teams on bye, is my number 23 quarterback. So that tells you plenty right there.
One more, and this is from Ziggy, who says, I'm thinking of sitting Julio Jones and starting Sanu, but I could start both and sit Drake for Miami. Your thoughts on a one-point PPR?
You don't want anything to do with Drake or Williams, your new starting running backs in Miami. I mean, if you didn't like what Jay Ajayi was doing, and nobody did like what he was doing, now you're taking arguably the worst offense in the NFL by points scored, just 13 points per game. Miami ranks 31st in rushing yards allowed. And that was when one guy, Ajayi, was getting all the work. Now they're going to divide it up between Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake. And so they're going to be splitting whatever meager stats that the Miami offense can provide for them. So let's not start either one this week.
There you have it. Charge, always good. Glad we're in it, Manny's. Looking forward to the trip even more so now. And we will talk again next week, my friend.
Brownie dessert already. I can already taste it.
I can't wait. And I'm going to have
Thank
to
you.
Hit a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Charchian joining us. Schneider Orange Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.